Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever. Dear brothers and sisters, if any of you have ever gone to the Holy Land, to a place called Jericho, you'll find the Mount of Temptation, which is the mount where Jesus was tempted. And pilgrims go there also to pray for strength against temptations. And in today's gospel, we hear how Jesus was tempted. Now, we are all tempted in different ways. Let it be said that a temptation is not a sin. So if you're tempted, if you get a temptation, that is not a sin. It's only when you say yes to a temptation, that is when there is a sin. So temptation is not a sin. And we are all tempted in different ways. But it is never God who tempts us. God does not tempt us, but he permits temptations, which means he allows us to be tempted. Temptations give us an opportunity to prove our love, to be faithful, and to grow in grace. So temptations are a great opportunity for us to prove that we want to be faithful to God and to grow in grace and also to merit a reward. Now, God can also allow us to be tempted to humble us. Temptations as a way of keeping us humble. So if ever we believe that we are something special or we believe that we are so strong, God can permit us to be tempted, to remind us that we are weak and to humble us. If we ever forget we are human beings and that we have concupiscence, which is an effect left over from original sin, concupiscence. Now, we all have to struggle. We all have to fight against concupiscence. We all have to wrestle with it, this concupiscence. Concupiscence, which is an inclination towards evil, towards sin, which means we find sin attractive and alluring. Just as the tree with the forbidden fruit was enticing, and Eve saw the tree was good to eat and pleasing to the eye, and that it was desirable for the knowledge that it could give. We are like this with sin. Because of concupiscence, we are attracted to sin. Because we have concupiscence. The Catechism of the Catholic Church in number 2514 says, St. John distinguishes three kinds of covetousness or concupiscence: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Now, if we quote from John's first letter, chapter 2, he writes, "For all that is in the world is the concupiscence of the flesh, the concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life." End quote. And in today's gospel, Jesus is tempted to eat when he is hungry, to be dazzled by the splendor of the kingdoms of the world, and presumption, pride, to cast oneself headlong downwards. So let us remember the three concupiscences of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life. Jesus did not have concupiscence. He did not have sin. So why was he tempted? The gospel tells us he was led into the desert by the Spirit. St. Jerome says he was led not against his will or as a prisoner, but as a desire for the conflict. So Jesus is going to the desert to battle. St. Augustine asks the question, why did he offer himself to temptation? And he responds, that he might be our mediator in vanquishing temptation, not only by aid only, but by example. So Jesus goes also to the desert to give us an example. St. John Chrysostom writes that Christ fasted, not himself needing it, but teaching us by his example. So dear brothers and sisters, we too are called to fight, to even desire this conflict, conflict, or at least to be ready for it. So let us see exactly what we are up against, what we are fighting against. St. Gregory the Great explains that we should know that there are three modes of temptation: suggestion, delight, and consent. And when we are tempted, we commonly fall into delight or consent, because being born of the sin of the flesh, we bear with us where we afford strength for the contest. So what that means is basically we have concupiscence. So in these three ways, by suggestion, something is suggested to you. Delight, it tries to delight you, and this is where you have to decide. And there could follow the consent, which will bring about death. St. John Chrysostom says, the devil is wont to be most urgent with temptations when he sees us solitary. Thus it was in the beginning, he tempted the woman when he found her without the man. So the devil tempts us when we are alone oftentimes. I mean, he could tempt us when we're with someone, but usually he's at his strongest when we are alone. So basically it means when we are solitary, isolated or alone, we become more prey to the devil. There were those who would go deliberately to the desert fathers, to go into isolation, knowing that that would be a place of great temptation. So when we are alone, we are more open to the devil. St. John Chrysostom says that now too, this occasion is offered to the devil by the Savior's being led into the desert. So the devil has an opportunity to tempt Jesus because he goes into the desert, which is an isolated place. So Jesus is alone in the desert and goes to be tempted. Now this period of Lent, we heard in the collect, is also a period for us to be in the desert, these 40 days, to fight against ourselves, which is the flesh, our inclinations, to fight also against the devil and the world. But let us not be isolated or solitary like Eve when she was without Adam. Let us have Jesus Christ, the new Adam, with us, so that we are never alone, so that with him the victory is assured. With him we shall never perish. Jesus is the new Adam. Now, St. Paul speaks about Jesus as the new Adam in today's second reading to the Romans. If it is certain that through one man's fall so many died, it is even more certain that divine grace coming through the one man, Jesus Christ, came to so many as an abundant free gift. As one man's fall brought condemnation to everyone, so the good act of one man brings everyone life and makes them justified. And by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. End quote. Now God in his mercy uses the same means by which we fell to save us. In the preface in the Mass for the mystery of the cross, the Church prays thus: for you place the salvation of the human race on the wood of the cross, so that where death arose, life might again spring forth, and the evil one who conquered on a tree might likewise on a tree be conquered. In other words, the devil conquered from a tree. Then he was conquered from a tree when Christ hung on a tree, the wood, the cross, the true tree of life. Now, even the fact that we fell through food, also God uses this to save us. St. Peter Damian writes, because of a food, we were expelled from paradise, and in virtue of a different food, we have been restored to the joys of paradise. The food eaten by Eve condemned us to the hunger of an eternal fast. The food given us by Mary has opened the door to the eternal banquet. End quote. This food given to us by Mary is the Eucharist. So God uses the same means to save us, food, the Eucharist. So God is merciful to us also through Mary, who the fathers call the new Eve. Now, I'll explain what it means, this new Eve. The Blessed Virgin Mary, she repairs everything that Eve did by doing the complete opposite. So, for example, just as Eve brought death, Mary brings life. She gives to us the Savior. Eve listened to the fallen angel, the devil, and said yes to him and brought about man's destruction. Mary instead listened to the voice of God's angel, the Archangel Gabriel, who brought her the word of God, and through her yes to God's angel, to God, brought salvation and life. Eve disobeyed, Mary obeyed, and through Mary's obedience we also have the victory over the devil. If we look at our beautiful stained glass window in the middle, you see the Blessed Virgin Mary together with her son crushing the head of the serpent. It depicts Genesis 3:15. And this is why the devil is afraid of Mary. He flees from the Blessed Virgin Mary because of her immaculate conception, because she is filled with God, because she is the tabernacle of God, and she crushes his head. So in this spiritual combat, we have to go to Mary. Whenever you have a temptation, flee to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Call on the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this is another way of conquering the devil through humility. Because Christ could have vanquished the devil as God, but he chose to do it as man, which humiliates the devil. So to be victorious, we need humility. So let us acknowledge we are weak when a temptation comes. Don't try to fight it on your own. Don't be isolated or solitary. Go to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Flee into her immaculate heart and you will be assured of victory. Now, dear brothers and sisters, in this time of Lent, where we are called to increase our prayer, to fast and do almsgiving, let us remember also the fasting, self-denial, to practice self-restraint. Fasting is very important. Let us remember Jesus told his disciples that some demons can only be cast out through prayer and fasting. So we have to fast. We have to deny ourselves. If we don't get into the habit of saying no to our own desires, we have to train our will, because when temptations come, if we're not trained to say no, we'll say yes all the time and we'll fall. And finally, Jesus said, pray much, lest you fall into temptation. So we have to be people of prayer. We have to pray much and pray the rosary very much. It brings about the presence of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the devil will flee. You'll be safeguarded and shielded through her. So I wish you all victory in this time of Lent. Victory over the flesh, over the devil, over the world. And if you flee always into the Immaculate Heart of Mary, if you humble yourselves, knowing that you are weak and you cannot fight alone, and you go to her, you will always be assured of victory. So through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the rosary and the cross, the tree of life, you will be victorious. And remember that food that comes from Mary, the Eucharist. It will give you strength. So if you're able to go to Mass often during Lent, it will give you all the strength you need, the Eucharist, who is God, in your hearts. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.